the Lord was walking on the water and called Peter. Amen. So do we have it? And for those that do not have it, it is on the screen. Verse 22 reads, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and he said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. And the church said, Yes, amen. You may be seated. It's a very familiar story, as I said. We know earlier Jesus had just finished feeding 5,000, over 5,000. And he sends the disciples to the other side. But the Lord goes somewhere and he does something that we need to learn to do. He went somewhere and he was all alone and he what?
Prayed.
Amen. He prayed. And there's a whole lot. He went in the evening, he prayed, he goes on the fourth watch. There's a whole lot to that. But we're going to tonight try to sit with the main thing. Amen. And we're dealing with faith talking, but doubt
walking.
Amen. So it says that straightway in verse 27, and straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. But Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he what? Walked on the water to go to Jesus. So when he comes out, he's walking in the what? Faith. Right? He could not walk in the water if he didn't believe. So Jesus speaks to him and says, Come. So now he begins to walk in faith. Amen. Just like us, when we get saved and we're excited about God, we do everything, we're walking in faith. Amen. Verse 30 says, But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And began to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. So he's walking on the water, but what happened? He gets distracted. That's why in this year of spiritual increase, don't let nothing distract you. Amen. So the Lord allows the sea and the winds to blow. Now remember this, every test we have, God allows something extraordinary to happen in that test. And the reason he allows it to happen is see if we're going to panic. Right? That's all. God's always in control. Amen. But he permits things to happen to see what is our reaction. Amen. Are we going to walk it and talk it or just talk it? I remember, I don't know how many of you all remember the late Dr. Lulu Jackson. Y'all remember Dr. Lulu Jackson? Amen. She was one of the forerunners of the apostolic faith in the United States. She used to sing a song, Lord, help me to live the life that I sing about. And then another portion of the song said, help me to live the life that I talk about. Help me to live the life that I tell. around him. How many of us have been on fire for God? And then God allows a test, not to overthrow us, but he allows a test to see what is going to be our reaction. Are we going to walk it or just talk it? Amen. And we'll show you why we know it's just a test in just a minute. Amen. So he said, verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of, he says, why did you doubt? So he began walking in faith, but then something extraordinary happened that made him lose his spiritual focus. Once he lost his focus, now he's walking in doubt. And the minute he begins to doubt, he begins to sin. Right? But he said, Lord, save me. And when they will come to the ship, immediately the wind ceased. Why did it cease? Because it was only a test. Amen. God wanted to see if he's going to walk in faith, because he had already said what he believed when he walked out, stepped out of the ship. So the Lord permitted this to happen to see, is he going to walk in faith? How is it that immediately when they got in the ship, immediately the wind ceased? Because it was only a test. Amen. He wanted to see if Peter was going to be distracted. So tonight, what we're going to deal with, once again, is faith walking and doubt walking. All right? Faith walking and doubt walking. Now, actually, as I was praying, this came to my mind. I don't usually use a lot of illustrations, but we're going to use a couple of illustrations tonight. What the devil does is he magnifies our situations. He magnifies whatever we're going through to make it look bigger than it really is. Paul calls our afflictions that we go through what? He said our life afflictions which last but a moment, but they work in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So tonight, are we looking at God or are we looking at the shadows? Right? Are we looking at God or are we looking at the shadows? Then if we look at the object is small. But when we look at the shadow, it's so much larger. Can you pull that up for me? We do this. All right, so the question is, can we read this together? I'm going too fast. Y'all ready? Y'all kind of funny. All right, y'all with me? All right, ready? Are you focusing more on the shadow of your trial? What are you focusing on more tonight? The shadow?
Straightway he goes his way and what? Forgets what manner of man.
man is. So tonight the question is, are we a doer of the word or are we just a hearer? Amen. It's so important that we realize we can't be just a hearer, but we must be a doer of the word. So we're going to deal with faith walking first. Amen. And then we're going to go to one of the best examples of faith walking and doubt walking is when God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. Amen. And sent out 12 spies. Amen. So faith walkers believe God and trust Him and His word for everything. Faith walkers believe God and trust Him and His word. Can we say for everything?
For everything.
Faith walkers keep their focus on God at all times. Faith walkers keep their focus on who? God at all times. Faith walkers don't look at the shadows, but their focus is on God. Amen? Faith walkers build up the church and encourage the saints. Faith walkers build up the church and encourage the saints. Faith walkers are usually in the minority. Right? Because how many apostles were in the ship when Jesus walked on the water?
12,
right? How many walked to Jesus? Everybody else did what? A lot of people pick on Peter, saying Peter was always quick. Peter always acted in faith. Maybe he didn't get to walk, but at least he did something. Amen. So faith walkers are normally in the minority. Amen. Let's go to Numbers, the 13th chapter. I'm just going to give you some highlights of that before we get into the crux of it. When Moses sends out 12 spies to spout the land, and they go to the land and they say, wow, this land is indeed is a land full of milk and honey. It's great. They bring back the fruit, the cluster of grapes, and they talk about how great the land is. But Moses didn't send them out to bring back a bad report. He only sent them out to confirm what God had already said. Amen. And we know that Joshua and Caleb brought back a good report, and the other 10 brought back a. So Joshua and Caleb, by faith, were in the what?
Minority.
Amen. So Numbers 13:30 says this. Actually, let's read a portion of Numbers 13 first before we get to this. Alright, so we're going to start off in verse 5 of Numbers 13. Okay? Verse 5 of Numbers 13. We're going to read verses 5 through 9, and then we're going to jump down to verse 16. Amen? Now this is when Moses sends out the 12 spies. Tonight, we're going to try to decide, are we walking by faith, walking by sight, or we a faith walker or doubt walker? Amen? Then Moses, verse 5, and Aaron fell on their face before all the assembly of the congregation of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh were of them that searched the land, with rent their clothes, and spake unto the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, Amen. Let's go back. Numbers 7:13, verse 17 through 21. That's the wrong one. Amen. Alright, so it says 13:17, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain, and see the land what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good, bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it is of fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land, that a time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Verse 21, so they went up and searched out the land. Now let's go down to verse 25. These are the 12 that went out, and they returned from searching out the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and all the different ones, verse 30. And Caleb still the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with them said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it were men of great stature, and there we saw the giants. And the son of Anak, which come of the giants, we were in our own sight as, right? They're looking at the what? Shadows. They're focusing on the wrong thing. The focus should have been on God. He said, we were in our sight as grasshoppers, than in their sight as. Now, how do they know what they thought? Right? How did they know that they thought they were like grasshoppers? Because they were looking at the shadows. They were looking at the impossibilities. And they forgot about God. Alright, so now let's go back to what faith, walking and talking can do. Amen? So it says in Numbers 13, 30, and Caleb still the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to what? Overcome it. Amen? So he said, we're more than able to overcome it. And this is walking by what? Faith and talking by faith. Well, how do you walk by faith and talk by faith? You trust and believe God at his word. You don't look at the scenario. You don't look at the shadow. You don't be like Peter when he walked by faith and began to look at everything that's happening around you and lose your focus. Now Numbers 14:5 says, then Moses and all the people fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good. Now they're talking faith. And they're going to also walk in faith. It's a good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. He said, now the only way that we can accomplish this is you can't what? Don't you rebel against God. Amen. So what happens so many times in the midst of our trials, instead of accepting God's word, we begin to rebel against God. You can't walk in faith if you walk contrary to God. You can only walk in faith when you're obedient to his word. Then only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither remember the fear. Fear makes a little thing big. Fear makes little things big. And that's why they said we were in our own sight as grasshoppers because of fear. The Bible said where there is fear, there is torment. But God has never given the church the spirit of fear. What spirit did God give us? The Holy Ghost. And then we went over last week and said, if that power be in us, that same power raised Jesus from the dead. If that's in us, that is not the spirit of fear, but that's the spirit of overcoming. Can we say praise the Lord? So God did not give the church Don't stop. Don't turn around. Amen. The Bible says we should not be weary and well-doing. And we shouldn't faint, but we must go forward, as the song said, on to higher ground. Think of how many times people quit. Jesus said, men are always building themselves up spiritually. Men are always praying what? Not to faint. Well, when you pray, you're saying, God, not my will. Lord, thank you. But thy will be done. So Jesus said, men are always praying and not to faint. God never expects the church to faint or to quit or to give up, because he's given us a power in us in the Holy Ghost. Amen. He said, only rebellion not against the Lord, feeding other people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Every test that we have, every trial that we have, God is only waiting to see what is our reaction. Are we going to panic? Just like he did Peter, he went back, and then as soon as they got in the ship, the wind ceased. Because it was only a test. Just like when the Lord fed the 5,000 a little early in that 14th chapter, if you read about the account in John, he says, he asked Philip, how are we going to feed so many people? But the scripture said God already knew what he was going to do. Whatever you go through tonight, talk faith, walk faith, and believe God, because God already knows how he's going to fix your situation. Amen? Now that's walking in faith. Now let's deal with the characteristics and the traits of walking in doubt. Amen. Talking faith, but walking in doubt. If you go to the 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, it talks about the children of Israel having come through the wilderness, and in the book of Acts, it calls them the church in the wilderness. The church in the wilderness. It said, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, because they were overthrown in the wilderness, because they what? They saw their trials. They saw their situations. And the shadow was so big that all they did was murmur and complain. God never, whatever you're going through, God don't want you to murmur and complain. Because the Bible says, in everything, the church ought to give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So whatever your spirit sees tonight, don't murmur. Don't complain. Don't be like the church in the wilderness. Don't be overthrown. So doubt walkers, the very first thing you know about a doubt walker is they begin to question God. That's one of the first problems people that don't believe God, is they begin to question God. Amen. Not only do they question God, but then, because they can't understand the mind of God, they begin to rebel against God. If God has spoken anything to us, be assured of this. If God said it, he's able to bring it to pass. Don't lose your focus and look at the shadow. Keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on Jesus. So that walkers rebel against God and deny the truthfulness of his words. Don't doubt walkers tear down. Faith walkers build up. Doubt walkers tear down. Faith walkers unify. Doubt walkers divide. We talk about the church in the wilderness. They were all in the church. But those doubt walkers, as we're going to read a little later, influenced the whole congregation to want to turn back. Not in God. We walk by faith. When you walk by faith, quitting, turning around, and giving up should never be an option. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
No matter how bad it gets, I can't turn back. Praise him, sing the song, I can't go back to the way it used to be. And Peter says, don't return to the pollution of the world. He also Amen. We have to go forward. Amen. So that woman's discouraged. You know, you ever be around people, they talk so negative. When you leave, you wonder if anybody's saved. I'm serious. Because they don't speak faith, but they speak doubt. It's like, any of y'all seen, y'all seen Gulliver years ago? Everybody remember Gulliver? Gulliver's Travel. The little guy said, oh, you never made it. There was something happening, oh, you won't make it. Oh, we can't. Don't be like that. Believe God, no matter how bad the situation is, amen? So doubt walker many times are in the majority. Just like the 12, God sent out, Moses sent out 12, the majority said God can't do it. But the faith walker said God can. Tonight, examine yourself, the Bible is saying, to see whether you're in the faith or not somebody else. Examine yourself, amen, to see if you're in the faith or not. Doubt walkers are the majority, and most of the time, doubt walkers are very clandestine. Right. Clandestine, they have their cliques. And doubt walkers always rebel against the authority of the church. If you know somebody that's rebelling, get away. Amen. Because they're walking in doubt. And you know, we quote a lot of scriptures, but I think in our times of test, we forget that. Listen, there ain't nothing we can do that God don't see. There ain't nothing we can say that God don't hear. Just because you are off on your own in a clandestine, private situation, God still sees. And God still knows. So that walkers forget that God is omnipresent and that God sees and hears everything. That walkers will rebel against the authority. Did not the 10 rebel against Moses and God as a leader? Moses was not the leader. Who was the leader? God. God was giving Moses instructions. So when the that walkers began to rebel, they were rebelling against Moses. They rebelled against God. Matter of fact, if you read later, God said, told Moses to get out of the way. He said, I'll destroy every last one of them. But the Bible said, Moses stood between as the intercessor. And he began to reason with God. He said, God, don't do that. He said, because the inhabitants of the lands that say out there, God was big enough to deliver them, but he could not keep them. Because God realized they were rebelling against Moses. They were rebelling against doubt walkers will rebel against the very authority of the church. Amen. Hold on for 1 minute. Go to Matthew, the 23rd chapter. Matthew 23. Matthew, the 23rd chapter. And we're just going to go right to verse. Well, let's read verses 2 and 3 together. I'm not going to read all of this because there's quite a bit in this. These are doubt walkers. Can doubt walkers be spiritual? Can they be not spiritual? Can they be in a position of authority? Yes. Doubt walkers can also be in a position of authority. Matthew, the 23rd chapter, verse 2 says, saying the what? And then the Pharisees, Moses was the what? Leader of Israel. He was the spokesman. He was the authority. He said, they sent in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they did, you observe, then observe and do. But don't do after their words. Wait a minute. They sit in Moses' seat? But we're not supposed to do after their words? Why? Because they say that was, but they won't do it. They talk it, but they won't. They just won't do it. But they can tell everybody else what to do. Right. Watch even those that are in, now I'm not talking about local church, we're talking about church as a whole. Amen. And from the televangelists on down, because a lot of them are living, are telling you one thing, but behind the scenes, they're doing something else. So he said, they sit in Moses' seat. What's what they need you to do? not do after their, don't do after their works. Verse 5 says, but all their works they do for to be downwalkers. They don't have no real sincerity. They're just doing it because they want to be seen of men. Amen. All right, let's go back to doubt walking again. Let's go to a couple more illustrations of a doubt walker. So, first thing, they don't doubt walk somebody to submit to authority. All right? Well, why don't they like to submit to authority? Because doubt walkers are very narcissistic. Doubt walkers is all about them. Amen. So they break up the harmony of the church because they are narcissistic. And they are clandestine, so they turn to rally people on their side without realizing. Like Gabrielle says, beware, be careful what you do, lest happily you find yourself to be fighting against God. When the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin were trying to shut up the apostles, Gabrielle said, brethren, be careful. And tonight we ought to all be careful. Lest we find ourselves to fight against God. Well, how? Why? Because we're walking in doubt and not in faith. So doubt walkers are narcissistic. Narcissistic is a person who's only self-involved with themselves. Amen. Narcissistic. Spiritual narcissism. They're overly self-involved with themselves and often vain and very selfish. Those are doubt walkers. If somebody says, no, I'm not doing that, somebody else can do that. Watch those. Amen. The Bible said we are all in this together. When one suffer, right? There's no big eyes and little U's in church. Jesus said, what I say unto one, doubt walkers can't see the big picture because the only thing they can see is themselves. Y'all with me? Amen. Narcissistic doubt walkers have an inflated sense of their own importance. Amen. These are doubt walkers. They just think the world revolves around me. Doubt walkers have a deep need for admiration and a lack of empathy for others. But behind this mask of ultra-confidence lies a fragile self-esteem that's vulnerable to the slightest criticism. Y'all, I'm going to tell y'all something. Y'all wouldn't believe how many times Bishop corrects me, my wife. Bishop has corrected me a lot of times. I can't get mad because he's trying to get me to do the right thing, right? Woman criticism or someone that corrects us is not to hurt you, but it helps you stay on the what? Right path. Amen. People that are narcissistic easily get wounded. You know? The church. You know who the strongest people in the world should be at? In church. You know who the most mentally tough people in the world should be?
In church.
Why the church seems so fragile when you're trying to help them? Because they're not walking in faith. They're walking in doubt. So instead of seeing God in the big picture, all they can see is themselves. Amen? We're talking about God. I know y'all didn't say a lot of amen. That's right. We just keep going forward. But we're just trying to identify what causes you to not walk in faith, but you're walking in doubt. Doubt walkers, okay? So doubt walkers will always focus on the shadows. It's like we started with. You can't see the real picture because you're looking at the shadow just like those 10 spies. They said we were in our own sight as what does a person look like a grasshopper? Think about it. And then how do you know what the other people were thinking about them? They didn't talk to them, right? Because there's a preconceived thought in their mind because they are narcissistic. And everything has to revolve around me. I'm going to tell you something. If none of us don't ever do anything in agape, if this is of God, it's going to make it anyway.
Amen.
Because Jesus said, upon this rock, he's going to build a church.
Amen.
If we don't do nothing, God's church is going to stand.
Amen.
Right? So the thing is, either we get on board or we move on. Don't fight against God. Because when you fight against God, you just like God did with the children of Israel, God gets angry. And you can read about that a little on your own. But let's keep going. Okay? All right. Now let's go to Titus, the first chapter, verse 15. We're talking about down walkers and talking about those who are sincere. The thing about sincere people, guess what? Every last one of us never make a mistake. Because we won't reach perfection till we get to heaven. Bible says all have sinned and fallen short. There's none righteous, no, not one. But even David, he said, Lord, it's against thee and thee only have I sinned, committed this great transgression. Because he was walking in faith. And David realized he murdered a man, committed adultery. But he said, Lord, whatever it be, you can take my kingdom, you can take my throne, but don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. That's walking in faith. You know what he's saying? He said, God, if you take your spirit away from me, I can't make it. We need God to make it. Amen. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Amen. So 1 Titus chapter 1, verse 15 says, unto the pure, a saint of God, a child of God, you can't make them see wrong. I mean, if we're walking in faith, we're walking trusting God. Even if a million people come and tell you something that is wrong, unto the pure. So when someone tries to tell you something, you know, not in our church, but for the internet, for those people, you ever have people that try to speak some negative stuff about people? A pure person says, well, I don't see it. Because all I can see is the good. That's how we want to be in church. Don't you realize we're all baptized into one body by one spirit? That we all are what? One. Don't let people on the outside, because I'm sure we don't do it on the inside. If we do say, ouch, you know, I got to tell you that. Y'all some serious looking people in my life. That's right. I got some serious looks on me. That's right. Unto the pure, some things are pure. Now, this is, I learned from my mother years ago. My mother would see something, I remember one time, I never forget it, I had to use a person's name just in case they ever, by mistake, stumble over this internet. I'll miss it on the internet. I'm not going to use her name. This person did my mother so wrong, I think I was 12. And my mother was still nice. I was like, mothers, we all say, we say mother. Up north, y'all say mother. Why are you still, I was curious, I was confused. Why are you still being nice? She said, she don't mean what she says. I said, well, if she doesn't mean it, why does she do it? She said, she didn't mean it. I was like, wow, I always remember that. I was like, man, so when somebody does you wrong, you're still supposed to be nice? And just say they don't mean it because unto the pure, all things are pure. Right? So a pure person don't find fault. Because they find things that are, if you're in a circle or you're in a crowd, that crowd can't do nothing but find fault, separate. Get out of that. That would bring you down. Just like the 10 spies. Right? If you read that account in the 14th verse, actually we'll go back to that. Let me finish this and we'll go back to the 14th. Let me show you what down walkers would do to your faith. Amen. What they do to your faith. So unto the pure, what? All things are pure. What is it? But unto them that are, when somebody's just messed up and they don't want to do right to the undefiled, to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing. No matter. Some people you try to say, well, how about this? No, it ain't no good. Wait a minute, is it anything? He's curious. Is anything? Watch them, because they're defiled and they're what kind of believing? Unbelieving. And unto them is nothing pure. No matter what, the church is going to, no, it ain't going to work no way. Separate. But it's really separate, because listen, first of all, it ain't even what we see, no. God sees it. Right? If the church is established of God,
amen.
You hear me? I'll say, be careful. yourself to. I don't come against no ministry or nothing, because God ordains and sustains all ministries. So I won't speak against it. Right? Because the final say. And I have too much to worry about here to worry about somewhere else.
Right.
So I gotta keep my focus. But I'm telling the defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. They talk faith. Right. These are those people that don't really have it. They confess
that they know God.
They confess they know God, but what? So they talk faith. But their words in doubt. Because they deny God, being abominable, disobedient unto every. They rival everything that tries to be good with the wrong. Watch those and walk it down. Listen, saints, we should build one another up. We should never tear down. Paul talks about in Galatians. Go to the Galatians chapter 5. All right, go to Galatians chapter 5. This is what Paul said. Now we're talking about being in faith. We're talking about spiritual increase this year. You cannot spiritually increase walking in carnality. It doesn't work. You can't increase spiritually if you're walking in carnality. Say at least ouch or something. Amen. You can't do it. God does not operate under those under those methods. Right? So we have to do it God's way if we want to do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Amen. Let's go to verse 13 of this fifth chapter. Actually, let's go to verse 12. Paul is dealing with the saints of God, but he's dealing with those of the Judaizers that were trying to discourage them. Verse 12, he said, I would they were even cut off, which Paul said, I wish we could cut them off. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty as an occasion for the law, for the flesh, but by love, we're talking about what? The church. Yeah, you are free to say and do as you please. He said, but don't do it to please your flesh. Amen. And then he goes on to say in verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in everything about God is fulfilled in one word. Thou shalt love thy neighbor. How are we supposed to love our neighbors?
As ourselves.
But if ye
not
in church. Look at somebody say not in church. Come on, say not in church. In church you ain't supposed to be biting and
devouring.
We're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to build one another up. The church is not supposed to tear each other down.
Amen.
We're talking about a year of spiritual increase. Only one that can answer any of these questions about you is you. And be assured, God does have a record. But if you might devour one another, take heed that you be not. Well, how do we not do this? Did I say walk in the spirit and what? So that walk is always in the flesh. They can't see God because of flesh and carnality. And they cannot please God. Now let's go back to Numbers 14 chapter. We'll close here because I know the kids have to go to school. But we just want to, how many want to hear God say, well done?
Amen.
God would never applaud or praise us if we walk contrary. You can't walk contrary to God and think God's going to bless you. You can't do things in secret and think God doesn't see it. God sees all. Amen. And we don't want to do that. But Numbers, the 14th chapter, and verse 1. Now this, we're back to the 10 spies. We talk about the doubt walkers that are just killing the church in the wilderness, discouraging people because they don't believe God. If anyone starts speaking negative things against the church and against God, separate, right? Because that'll hurt you. That will hurt you, and God does not take honor or pleasure in that. Amen? Verse 1 reads, and some of the congregation. These doubt walkers mess up what? So that's why you gotta be careful who you're around. I tell you, my wife used to say something. She said, you can hear that? When I get around a lot of people, now, I ain't talking about none of y'all, so I don't think I'm talking about y'all. Because I ain't talking about you.
Blessings.
But whenever I would be in a situation, I might just my father, and people start speaking negative, I just zone out. Seriously. I zone out. Right? And I remember somebody said to me one time, you didn't hear that? I said, be honest though, I didn't hear it. Well, how did you hear it? I said, because I zoned out. You know, because who wants to get negative stuff about people?
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? That's what the world does. Come in y'all from the beginning, come from y'all from my and be
separate.
The Bible said, don't touch.
Yeah.
That's unclean. That's not God. God doesn't operate in that way. So you gotta come out and be. If you can't tell me something good about somebody, don't tell me nothing at all. Because when you tell me something negative, I'm gonna tell you to stop, but then I'm gonna zone out. And I promise you, I won't hear nothing. Because I'm from a child. I've learned that. You don't need to hear negative stuff about people. Amen. If you can't say something good, then what? Alright, so these 10 had some of the congregation upset. That's why you have to be careful the company you keep. I believe this 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 says, evil communication corrupts the manners. Evil communication. You know what I mean? Your conduct, your company. If you're not careful, you can be all in all the good you want. But if you're in the wrong company, it will corrupt you. As we were finding, all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept. From what? An evil report. Doubt walkers. The whole, what do you mean, the whole congregation? The whole congregation, itself of Moses, Aaron, Joshua, and Caleb. They messed them up. There's millions of people. They are influencing millions because they were in the majority. I mean, no, faith walk is always a minority. Oh, the only ones that went to the promised land, as great as Moses was, he allowed the people to mess them up. The only one that went to the promised land was Joshua, Caleb, and the ones that were below 20 years old, I believe. The rest of them didn't make it because they walked in doubt. You can't get to heaven walking. The promised land is symbolic of what? Heaven. Only two went, besides the ones that weren't old enough to give an account, because they walked in doubt. Verse 2 said, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against what Moses and Aaron were doing, what who told them to do. So why are they speaking? They're not really speaking against Moses and Aaron, but they're speaking against who? Against God. And the whole congregation said to them, would God that we had. Right? Then they thought it was foolish. Because right? If they wish they had died in the land of Egypt, they'd go ahead and die there. What's going to be the difference, right? If they want to die in the land of Egypt, what's the difference? Just go ahead and die there. Right? Because negative people could mess your mind up and make you think wrong. Amen? Would God we had died in the land of Egypt, but would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this? You mean you're going to really talk against God like that? Because of what? Doubt walkers. Those that didn't believe God. Now they're going to question God. First they went after Moses and Aaron. Now they're going That spirit will take you over. Even if you don't want it to. Listen, they're doing the whole congregation be influenced by them. Amen. And lay personally as to fall by the sword, that our wives, our children should be in prayer. Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Didn't God tell Moses, I've heard the cry of my people and I've seen their affliction? He delivered them from bondage. If you're in the wrong crowd, you want to go back into bondage. Just think of how many people that came in the church, got in the wrong crowd, and went back out into the world. Watch your company. It'll bring you down. They say one to another, let us make a captain. And let us. You want to go back? Listen, they were doing infanticide, killing their children, and doing all that. You want to go back to that? The wrong company. You're going to mess your mind up. They were every male child, they were killing. And you want to go back to that? They were beating them because they weren't producing the amount of print. You want to go back to that cruel bondage line? Because some doubt walkers have messed your mind up. And you think it was better in the world than being on the side of the Lord. Watch those people. Amen? Amen. We said, then verse 5, that Moses and Aaron fell on their face before all the congregation. We went over that. Let's go down to verse 10. Says, but all the congregation made stone them with. Wait a minute. Why do you want to stone the leadership of the church? Because you listen to the wrong people. Amen? If you can't say something positive to build up, don't say nothing to me at all. Because you know what the Bible said? The devil has come to kill, to steal, and to what? So when you know someone that's trying to kill, steal, and destroy, that is not of God. But that's of the devil. You got to separate from that. Amen? And by all congregation being stoned, they were stoned. And the glory of the Lord. Listen, that situation was so bad, God himself had to show up on the scene. You know you're going the wrong way when God has to step in to intervene. Amen. The Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Actually, let me go back. Let me go back to this chapter. Let me read what God says. You know, because God hates division. God hates those that separate. God hates those that divide. Amen. So it said, and the Lord said, verse 11, the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I've shown among them. God said, wait a minute. After all that I've done, and you still don't believe. He gave them water from a rock. He fed them with manna. He fed them with quail. God said, listen, I perform all these mighty miracles. And I simply said, what more could I have done? Okay? So God is trying to reason with Moses to give him permission to destroy his people. He said, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier. God said, I get rid of them all, because God hates that. God hates division. God hates those that tear down what he's trying to build up. Amen. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptian shall hear. For thou brought up this people in thy might from among them. Now, God was only using this as a test for Moses to see if Moses could really take it. Right? He said, Moses, I can get rid of all of them and give you a new group. Right? But Moses had the heart of a pastor for his saints. He said, nah, I worked too hard for them. Don't get rid of them. Right? This is what Moses is saying. Verse 14 said, they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, are seeing. That's something God is seeing face to face. And then thy as you kill all these people as one man, then the nations which have heard of the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware to them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is. Thank you, Jesus. Even in our own, God is a long-suffering God. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, as thou, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I will pardon them according to thy word. Tonight is all about being on God's side. Listen, if you can't say nothing positive, don't get in crowds and talk negative. Gamaliel said, let's go to Acts chapter 5. We close with Gamaliel. Can we let Gamaliel tell us this stuff? Gamaliel. Where's Gamaliel, right? I think Gamaliel. I'm from down south. Y'all forgive me, right? Gamaliel. All right. But let's let him speak. Because we sometimes in our knowledge, when the student begins to teach the teachers, they can go in great error. Amen? It's all about being on God's side. You know, a lot of people are afraid to tell the truth because they're afraid of what people might do. But if this word be of God, you can't tear it down. Amen? All right, let's go. Let me find Gamaliel. Let me see, Gamaliel. Let's go to verse 2, I believe, of this fifth chapter. Let me see. Yeah, let's go to verse. Let's start in verse 32. This is when he tried to shut the apostles up. Let God speak. Let God use you. If somebody else don't want to be used, don't get in the wrong company. Remember this: evil communication will corrupt. If you're around naysayers, they will corrupt you. If you're around those that are tearing down, they will corrupt you. Listen, it doesn't make a difference whether it's your family or not. Remember when Asa was king, he removed his own grandmother from being queen because she was wrong. But this family doesn't make a difference when it comes to God. Right? You still love family, but you can't permit families to separate between you and God. Can we say praise God? Amen. Verse 32 says, and we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost whom God has given to them that. So God will bless you if you what? God will give you the Holy Ghost if you. A lot of people say, how come I haven't gotten the Holy Ghost? Yeah, are you obeying God? If you obey him, he will give you the Holy Ghost. That's a promise. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and took counsel. What? Somebody was just telling you the truth. Amen. Took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the. He said, wait a minute. You know, it's good when somebody has a level head when people are going wrong. Wait a minute, don't do that. Verse 35 says, and said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye watch what you intend to do concerning these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who were slain, and all as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. And he said, after this, verse 38, be a man what? In a carnal mind. But if it be of God, you cannot. Watch what you fight is. I'm saying this. Watch what you fight. If something of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found evil to fight against God. That's what happens when you walk it down. You were fighting against God. They wanted to stone Moses. They wanted to stone Aaron. They wanted to stone Joshua. And they wanted to stone Caleb. Why? Because they believe God. That's a bad situation, right? Don't allow anyone to, don't try to gain the applause or praise of man if it's against God. Let God be for you. Amen. Don't be like those that sat in Moses' seat. They sought the praise of man. No matter what, seek the praise of God, let us all say. That's the difference between walking in doubt and walking in faith. When you walk in faith, you always see God. You never see the enemy, you never see the shadow, you always see God. The Bible says, and I'm going to go over this, Lord willing, probably next week with Joseph. Joseph went through one hardship after another, but the scripture said, but the Lord was with Joseph. And because God was with Joseph, he made a way for him to escape. Every time the enemy set a trap, God made a way for him to escape. Don't allow anything to cause you to go against your conscience against God. The Bible says if your heart or your conscience condemn you, God is what? Greater. Don't walk around with a guilty conscience and a guilty heart, because the scripture says if they condemn you, God is greater. And more than that, all things. Tonight is about doing what's pleasing in God's sight. Don't please anyone else. Amen. Don't allow anyone else to make you lose your spiritual focus. This is a year of spiritual increase. You cannot increase in God trying to please man and other gifts.